Traditionally, when we think of addictions, we think of things like alcohol, heroin, and gambling. But the World Health Organization caused a stir recently when it recognized video games as an addictive and treatable mental health condition.
We'll hear more about gaming and gambling in the next 30 minutes, including how gambling businesses are using artificial intelligence to tailor the gambling experiences they offer to make them more attractive to individual punters.
But first to those more traditional addictions. Just in our county, and that's Cambridgeshire, with a population of 620,000, there are 2,000 or so opiate and crack cocaine users. In other places, the problem is even bigger. And Georgia heard how big and what we might be able to do about it from pharmacologist Brian Roth, who's at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Currently in the US, we're having a crisis of really catastrophic proportions. So in the last year alone, more than 50,000 people died of opiate overdoses, and many hundreds of thousands or millions of people are currently dependent on opioids, both prescription and illegal opioids. And to sort of put that in perspective, the number of people that died last year in the United States from opioid overdoses is roughly the same as the number of Americans who died in the entire Vietnam War, and the same as the number of Americans that died in the entire Korean War. So this is a huge, huge problem.
And so people are prescribed these for pain. Then what happens?
So most people actually have no problem with them at all. But there is a significant portion of individuals that even after the first time they take a prescription opioid, basically have a tremendous feeling of euphoria. I was at one time a full-time psychiatrist and would frequently have patients who were opioid or heroin addicts as my patients. And the story they would tell invariably was after the first or second time that they took a prescription opioid, they basically felt like they had found what they were looking for their entire life in terms of the feeling of well-being and the euphoria that was attained. As I said, this doesn't occur with everybody, but when you have millions and millions of people taking these compounds, even if it occurs with only 5 or 10% of the patients, then you have hundreds of thousands to potentially millions of people who are at very high risk of ultimately abusing the medications and becoming dependent upon them.
How does this eventually lead to death?
Well, what happens typically is drugs like opioids lose their effectiveness in terms of reducing the euphoria relatively quickly, actually. People will increase the dose, and very quickly they can get to a point where the dose that is required to induce euphoria or to stave off symptoms of withdrawal from opioids after they become dependent gets very close to the dose that suppresses respiration. And death is typically due to suppression of respiration. So people basically stop breathing and then they die within a few minutes.
What is your lab doing to try and solve this problem?
My lab has been studying opioids and the molecules that they bind it to in the brain. They're called opioid receptors since 1983. And our idea is that if we can understand how these drugs interact with their targets in the brain, which are the receptors, then we might be able to make new medications that mimic the beneficial actions of opioids, sort of reducing pain without the side effects.
So you get all of the good and none of the bad. Is it the fact that it's the way it sort of docks on to a cell in one place, or does it have, this might be simplistic, but does it have one bit that causes the pain relief, one bit that causes the addiction, and if you could just get rid of that bit, it would all be fine?
That's what a lot of scientists think, we're currently in the process of sort of testing that notion that there is sort of one conformation of the receptor which interacts with certain proteins which is responsible for pain, the relief of pain, and another sort of set of interactions which are responsible for the side effects. And we can sort of break that down into chemical reactions inside the cell. And then actually it's a relatively straightforward, I wouldn't say it's simple, but a relatively straightforward way then to design medications that sort of tickle one pathway and not the other. And then of course, once we have them, then you know, we test them in mice and through sort of multiple iterative cycles, eventually hope to get these into humans for human testing.
These are just sitting on the table waiting to get through the system, really.
Yes. Yeah. You know, there are lots of safety things. You know, we want to make sure that even though the drugs hit the receptors in the brain that we want them to hit, we want to make sure they don't hit other receptors or have serious side effects that are not related to their known actions. And these things take time.
And have you had people suggesting this maybe could do more harm than good?
This is always the concern that when you make something new that hits opiate receptors, that it may actually be more addictive than what you started out with. And heroin actually was made, I think, in Germany, but was initially used in the U.S. to stave off dependence of morphine. So at that time in the U.S., we had a number of people who had survived the Civil War that were morphine addicts. And heroin was initially used to stop morphine addiction.
Whoops.
It turned out to be more addictive than morphine. And so, as you can imagine, the regulatory people have a number of hurdles that these drugs need to go through to assess sort of what's called addiction and dependence liability before they can be tested in humans. And then even in early human studies, it's possible to get a really good signal as to what their abuse potential will be. So I wouldn't say we're 100% confident, but certainly all the regulatory procedures and testing is in place to help to make sure that doesn't occur again.
Brian Roth from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And let's hope they have some luck with their human clinical trials.